This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. For people who live in emergency homeless shelters, keeping a distance from each other is nearly impossible. In Massachusetts, shelters are typically at or over capacity, so space is tight. Those who run the shelters have been scrambling for ways to spread out their populations to try to prevent the coronavirus from running rampant. John Yaswinski is president and CEO of Father Bill's in Mainspring. The organization operates homeless shelters in Quincy and Brockton. Yaswinski says the way Father Bill's has been able to spread out shelter guests or depopulate the shelter appears to be leading to lower rates of infection. He told us what's been working and what it's been like to manage homeless shelters during a pandemic.
It's the most challenging last month probably of my 23 years of combating homelessness. We've been faced, of course, with terrible snowstorms and tough winters and overflow and not knowing where people are going to sleep at night. But this has really been knowing that what the CDC guidelines were of social distancing that would make everybody feel safe. You know, we average between both buildings around 250 people a night. You know, we only get funded for about 126 people. And so year round, we have people sleeping on our floors.
So the challenges have been building as you've been trying to abide by CDC guidelines of having people spaced apart, a hard thing to do in a shelter that, as you say, even in the best of times is in overflow anyway. You've had to find other places for people to stay, obviously not out on the street. So what have you done?
Yeah, so in Quincy, we were able to open up two other sites. We were able to open up with partnership with the South Shore Y, their field house, where we were able to move about 50 to 60 people. And we really targeted our vulnerable population. The rest of the population in Quincy, we tested, and we were able to then have everybody quarantine at a local hotel that was supported by the city. And any positives we got from there, we were able to get into the state's isolation centers. What that's really allowed us to do is separate the population by three different buildings where everybody used to just be in one.
Now, in Brockton, where you also run a shelter, you've taken a different tack. What have you done there?
Yeah, in Brockton, we had we worked with the city and the mayor for weeks in March and had some challenges with locating buildings that we could turn over to be kind of the depopulation sites. So we were able to get MEMA to come in at the state and give us four tents that are next to our main shelter. And so we've been able to move about 60 people out into the tents.
And you have tested guests at both shelters to see who might be positive for infection. What have you found? Because there's a striking difference.
Overall, we've tested 280 people to date between both communities. The Brockton infection rate now stands at 32%, and Quincy is now at 4%. And we've had one person pass away who had significant underlying health concerns.
So what accounts for such a remarkable difference?
One is we were able to depopulate a lot sooner out of Quincy than we were in Brockton. We were able to acquire the other sites a lot sooner. And then also, having the sites significantly away from the shelter has allowed us to quarantine people and not have them mingling. So no matter what, people that are struggling with homelessness will leave during the day sometimes and take a walk, or if they're struggling with substance abuse, they'll go out and want to use, and then we'll need to take them back in. But I think we've been able to keep the social distancing, where in Brockton, we are kind of all in that same area, and a lot of our homeless guests are kind of still connecting with each other around our area in the city.
So what can be done about that then? I mean, now that you know what works and what works less well, what can you do now?
What we do see is we have a little bit of evidence what is working, but you know, what happens when these sites aren't available? And that could be in a matter of weeks or a month or two.
You mean when the hotel wants to go back to being a hotel and the Y wants to be a Y again?
That's right. And we understand that they want to go back and do their business. But the crisis for the homeless population is still going to be there. And so I think that, you know, until there is a widely available vaccine, we really need to put up more depopulation sites or keep the ones we have and then keep the testing going, or we're going to continue to have major outbreaks. But we're very concerned about all these increased costs that come with cleaning our facilities, staffing these extra facilities, the supplies that are needed, the gloves.
Are you able to pay for those things?
So right now, we're already taking on close to $300,000 of new incurred costs related to the COVID. So we feel like for the next couple of months, hopefully we should be able to get some of the federal stimulus money to help. But long term, if we're talking the next 3 to 6 months or the next year, we're very concerned about our ability to keep these sites running.
To keep the sites running, and I would assume to keep people fed. I mean, how hard is that right now?
It's really hard because, you know, about 90% of our meals were donated in the past by volunteer groups. And, you know, now that we don't have the volunteer groups coming in, we've been receiving a lot of donations to help us with these costs. But at the same time, we've seen our food budget go up.
If you could change one thing right now, I mean, if you could recommend that, you know, one immediate problem be resolved, what would it be and how would you resolve it?
I think that we have to, at the state level, decide that we're never going to go back to overcrowded congregate emergency shelters, that it doesn't work in this public health crisis and it doesn't work big picture for the greater good of ending homelessness. So let's invest in capital resources right now to bring on more facilities that can solve the immediate crisis, but then can be converted to permanent supportive housing in the long run.
Thank you for speaking with us, John Yuzwinski, President and CEO of Father Bill's in Mainspring, which runs homeless shelters in Quincy and Brockton, as well as permanent supportive housing programs. We wish you good luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
We asked the state if it's developing plans to have extra homeless shelter facilities for several more months. So far, we haven't received a response.